why Jesus had to leave. A hard concept, because as humans then and now, and perhaps even more now in our modern society, we don't like to feel bad things. We want to feel good all the time. And even some Christian churches water down the faith so much that they don't talk about difficult things like sin. They don't even talk about confession. But Jesus is here preparing the disciples at the Last Supper. This is taking place at the Last Supper. So now we've gone a little bit backwards in time. We've done Pentecost, and then backing up, there was Ascension, you remember, and this is back to the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Think about a time when you were really in grief, missing a loved one. Perhaps a good friend had moved away. Perhaps you had moved and relocated. Perhaps a loved one had died. I guess we all have a lot of those examples. I'm remembering a time, as I'm telling you and speaking to you now, of a woman whom I will call Mary, who years ago, quite a few years ago, when we were still living in Albany, I am a counselor, pastor counselor, and at the time, my office was next door to the church. We lived in the parsonage across the parking lot. And this woman knew, young woman, I believe in her early 20s, knew where I lived. And she was really struggling with an eating disorder and depression and anxiety and had a huge sexual trauma background. But she was really struggling, but she was really working hard and getting well, and committed to getting well. Well, this one day in August of that year, we were preparing to go on vacation. And as I said, she knew where we lived, and we walked outside, and I found a couple plates of cookies on our picnic table outside. And she had left a note saying, I hope you remember me when you get back from vacation, so just in case you're going to forget me, here are some cookies. She really just needed me to remember her and not forget about her. And she was petrified that I wouldn't see her anymore when I got back. And it was just one of those really awkward, difficult times. And she then was sort of lurking around there, and I had to say goodbye to her and then be gone for a couple of weeks. And she, because she was so childlike in some ways, could not grasp the concept that I was going to come back, that I wasn't abandoning her. And I imagine it's much like that with these disciples. Imagine being one of those disciples there. And Jesus is preparing them for what is going to happen. First, the crucifixion, and then the resurrection, and then the ascension. And I think if we were there, we wouldn't have done any better. They were hanging on and they were grieving. But in the meantime, for a moment here, I'm going to lift up to you verse 7 as the text. And this is the New Revised Standard Version. It reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you," these are Jesus' words, "nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Wow. That's very complicated and very confusing. We'll talk about more about that in a minute. But what in the world? What is Jesus saying here? Is this a paradox? Jesus is saying, I'm going to go away and you won't see me, but in a while you're going to see me again. And then he's saying, well, this is to your advantage if I go away. Let's just look for a moment at the scripture. First, we see, of course, as I was saying, the disciples are grieving. And they were probably so shocked at hearing all this that they didn't know what to ask. It's not that they didn't bother to ask. They just didn't know what to ask. They didn't ask Jesus where he was going. They just didn't understand. I don't imagine that we would have either. But Jesus then says, you know, the Holy Spirit, essentially, can't come unless I leave. And what's the Spirit of truth? Jesus is saying to them right here in the scripture. The Spirit or the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth that points to my Messiahship, that points to the fact that I am your Savior. The Spirit, he's saying, will draw you to God, to me. And then, in his aplomb way, Jesus says to the disciples, well, I guess I can't really tell you much more because you won't understand much more because I know you're, and this is my paraphrase, I know you're overwhelmed right now. And I imagine they were, because even just reading this 2,000 years later, it feels overwhelming and confusing. Again, then, the point of this lesson is we're going to see Jesus now. And then we're not going to see Jesus and vice versa. So that's very complicated. Okay, so why did Jesus have to leave? I think his physical form is limited. Clearly, he died at the age of 33, which probably was about life expectancy in those days. But his physical form was limited, but his spirit, Jesus was saying, my spirit is going to be with you permanently and forever. So essentially, this is in some traditions called Trinity Sunday. It's more of a doctrinal Sunday than a holiday because the Trinity, the concept of Trinity is explained, and of course, a very confusing concept. We sing about it, the triune God or God in three persons. What does that mean? I had a client one time tell me that really meant that God was multiple personality, but the Spirit is with us forever. As it says here, as an advocate is someone who helps us and finds service for us. I guess that's coming out of my social work background. A comforter, the Spirit is a comforter. Maybe like we prayed about someone who wraps our arms around us when we're hurting and we're sad. A helper, that makes sense, of someone who's there for us always. A counselor, someone who sustains us and guides us. All these are interchangeable words here. This translation says advocate. Some say, again, comforter, helper, counselor. All words for the Spirit. And maybe at different points in our lives, we hang on to different aspects of that. But the Spirit, of course, also leads us back to God as our Father, as our parent, as the one who loves us above all. And the Spirit also leads us again, as Jesus is saying here, back to himself, because Jesus, as we know, as we believe, is our Savior, the one who has rescued us from sin. So that's why Jesus had to leave. Jesus left so the Spirit could come and be with us forever and sustain us and guide us and advocate for us and counsel us and be with us no matter what. So hopefully, as you think about this, and as this young woman found out that, and by the way, she became a part of the church and sometime years later, her grief, her pain turned to joy when she found community. Her fear and anxieties became hope, and her loyalty to God turned into Christian service, doing good deeds and do good things for others. That's part of our tradition, our Calvinistic tradition, right? To do service and gratitude because God has loved us so much. So the counselor supports us, heals us, sustains us, turns our grief into joy, turns our fear and anxiety into hope, and our loyalty and our obedience into service. Jesus then left as a physical man so that we might, that not just the disciples, but we, all of us might experience the love of God through the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. No one else, no other being could possibly give us that constancy that the Holy Spirit can. No other God in history, lower G or big G, has given that sense of constancy that the Holy Spirit can. Why did Jesus leave then? In psychological terms, we call that object constancy, where we can hang on to that belief that someone will be there for us. In theological terms, that's faith. Jesus left so that we may experience and know God more fully. Know God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Know God in those three roles. God the parent loves us, protects us. God the Son saves us. And finally, God the Spirit is constantly present for us throughout our lives and all that we do, throughout this congregation's lives as it goes through a wonderful transition. God the Spirit is constantly present for us. Amen.